You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Circus Maximus joins him. Too Darn Hot is poised on behind them in third position. Holding him in is Zabiel Prince in the yellow jacket, as Circus Maximus now is sent for the winning line by Ryan. Leads up. Here's Too Darn Hot in the pink colours, moving through into second place to try and get to him. Zabiel Prince is next. They head down towards the last furlong. Too Darn Hot, Frankie, has led at the furlong pole, going on to Circus Maximus in second place. I Can Fly behind those in third place. They race to towards the line again. Frankie Dettori and John Gosden, Too Darn Hot. Circus Maximus in second place. It's very tight for third. Happy Power on the inside of I Can Fly.
Too Darn Hot, Too Good in the Sussex, extending away to land the spoils. Alex Dunn and Mark Walton here, reflecting on another Group One for Frankie. Not bad.
Not bad at all. His form has been taken to the next level, hasn't it? In well, particularly the last 2 months or so, the way he's winning Group 1 races, he's had a higher strike rate than a lot of people just winning races, a lot of jockeys winning races in general. He's a great character, isn't he? He's obviously had a lot of troubles a few years ago, and to see him have the troubles with the Godolphin, then team up with John Gosden, and this partnership flourishing in the last few years once again. And yeah, I mean, he just adds something a little bit different, doesn't he? I mean, he was celebrating before the finish line on Stradivarius the other day. He's won a Shade Cosley on Too Darn Hot as well, and it's just to see these great stars and these horses that people can get attached to. I don't think it's any coincidence that it's Frankie Dettori and John Gosden that people are warming, you know, that these horses are trained by, because as a connection they're brilliant, and the horses that they're sending out to the racetrack at the minute are just superb. Good to see Too Darn Hot finally realising a little bit of that potential that we saw as a two-year-old. He was the champion two-year-old last year. Wheels kind of came off a little bit at the start of his three-year-old campaign. In saying that, he wasn't running badly, he was just not winning races, and it just makes you wonder, doesn't it? He's won the Sussex today, Group One over a mile, against all the horses. Well, another 3-year-olds came to the fore, but just imagine what he would have done if he actually ended up in the Guineas, because that was the primary target. Sadly didn't make the race, but we could have been talking about the Guineas winner going on to win the Sussex if that had been the case. And he's only little, isn't he, but he's a big star.
In terms of how the race panned out today, they went hard from the outset. Phoenix of Spain went for it early, and Circus Maximus took it up three furlongs out and again kicked on. It was a stamina sapping a mile race, as you're likely to see, to be honest, because sometimes they can be a little falsely run. Absolutely no sign of that this time around, though.
No, and he was actually a little bit keen early on as well, for half of the race. So it just shows that he has still got a little bit of stamina in reserve as well. And he's just all class, isn't he? I mean, a lot of horses, lesser horses, would have faded in the closing stages, given how hard he's pulled. But he's then gone again. He's actually won going away in the end. It's a snug success. He's just a class apart from them on today's running, and that's the true Too Darn Hot, in my opinion. You know, John Gosden even said earlier in the season he didn't campaign him how he should, and that's the great thing about the trainer. You know, he knows exactly what he needs to do. He'll happily admit if he's made a mistake. A horse can't be in better hands, and we're seeing the fruition of that now with Too Darn Hot. I'm excited about him. Hopefully we'll, you know, maybe see him later on in the year or next year as well as a four-year-old, because I don't think we've seen the bottom of him yet.
We've seen some really impressive performances at Goodwood so far, not least the race before, where quite the performance once again from Liberty Beach. John Quinn's horse is an absolute phenomenon.
She's good, isn't she? She's better than Group 3 level. We've seen her win a Group 3 today in good fashion. She you know, you could argue a case for her potentially that she should be unbeaten. That run at Ascot, she was drawn on the wrong side. She finished fourth behind Raffle Prize and the Queen Mary. And if she'd have been a bit more fortunate with the draw, we could be saying she's 4 from 4. And she's certainly worth a crack at Group 2 level, we know that. Whether she's good enough for a Group 1, we'll find out. But she's very, very talented. And a lot of people were on her today. She was a warm order at the top of the market. And she's building herself a very, very good profile.
Certainly. and another winner for the Quins at Goodwood this week. They are certainly having a good week. So well done if you've managed to find yourself a winner so far at Goodwood. Hopefully we can point you in the direction of a winner or two more. We'll hear very shortly from myself and Craig Forsyth. I caught up with Craig a little earlier on in the day. Just before we focus on that, we've also seen an impressive display from Sir Ron Priestley in seeing off the attentions of Durston in the closing stages a little earlier on the card. That was a handicap chock full of prospective talent that's already been there and done that. That was a really good race, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think that just highlights as well how good a form Mark Johnston's in. I think he's on 49 winners now for July.
He's broken his record, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. His own record.
49 as we record this. We know he does well at Glorious Goodwood. We know he does well throughout the month of July, and he's just taking his form to new levels. And that's just, it was like the typical Mark Johnston runner, wasn't it? Hard to peg back, keeps finding, keeps going. And Sir Ron Priestley's right back in form, isn't he? What's that now? It's his fourth win in five outings. Mm. Yard thriving. He's doing really well as well. And keep Mark Johnston on your side where you can, I think.
Definitely. Right, let's hand over to myself and Craig a little earlier. The first four races on Thursday at Glorious Goodwood coming your way.
Hi everyone, it's KP here, and we have one of the highlights of the British summer, the Goodwood 5-Day Festival. Thursday sees the return of the two-time Guineas winner, Hermosa, who is stepping up in trip in the Nassau Stakes. We also have the Group 3 Gordon Stakes and the two-year-old race of the day, the Richmond Stakes. Friday starts off with the Group 3 Oaktree Stakes for fillies and mares. Also on the card is the Thoroughbred Stakes, and the big handicap of the day is the Golden Mile. Saturday is the final day, and the big handicap of the whole week is the 28-runner Stewards' Cup over 6 furlongs. We have the Linnie Langtree Stakes over 1.6 for fillies, and the meeting ends with an apprentice handicap of a 1.1 furlong. So join me all week paddock side and hear it all unfold on William Hill Racing Radio.
Four races to look at in total then. The first four on the Goodwood card on Thursday. It should be another belting day of action, Craig.
It should, definitely, Alex. And obviously after the rain on the first day, I think ground conditions will be drying out and we'll be getting towards the quicker side of good. So all in all, it's shaping up to be a really decent betting day's action on day three.
The 150, the first race, is a handicap over 1.2 furlongs. And at the time of recording, which is around about 1 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon, Forest of Dean is narrowly the favourite at 9-2, 6-1 for Walk in the Sand, Sinjari and Corcho, 15-2 for Almania and Dalalat, and 10s and bigger the rest. This is wide open, isn't it?
It is wide open, but there's one horse stands out here that I really like and probably the best bet on the card on Thursday, Alex, and that's Sinjari. I have been with him the last twice, so a little bit of a warning there to the listeners, because he was very impressive when he won at Windsor, just winning a maiden earlier in the season, but the time he clocked on that occasion suggested he was an above-average handicap at the very least, and the sectionals also backed that up. And had a decent bet on him in the London Gold Cup at Newbury. And he just got run out of it by Headman on that occasion, losing nothing in defeat. Back in fourth on that occasion was Forest of Dean of John Gosden's horse, who was at a slight disadvantage where he raced on the track, tight against that far rail for a large part of the race. So you can maybe upgrade the Gosden runners form a little bit, but you know, Sinjari was well ahead of him at the finish. And then in the King George V handicap at Royal Ascot last time, he took a bizarre route, really, because he stuck to that far rail down the back straight.
He did, yeah.
And it was a race where they went a real strong gallop, and it just played into the hands of all the hold-up horses. Aidan O'Brien's trio of runners was held up in the early stages. They fought out the finish. There's obviously going to be pointers to that form, particularly on Wednesday with one of those O'Brien runners, and later on the card on Thursday as well. Mm. With Constantinople running as well. So it's going to be a big few days for the King George V form. But Sanjari is one to keep the faith, though, Alex, for me. You know, he did take a hefty rise for his near miss at Newbury. He went up £8 in the handicap. The handicap, I gave him one back for his Ascot run. So he runs off a mark of 96, but still think he's a horse to stick with. He's obviously dropping back from the mile and a half to 10 furlongs, but he showed enough speed at Newbury prior to his run at the Royal Meeting.
OK. And with Walk in the Sand right up at the top as well, carrying 9'7" with an official rating of 110, it means that everything else gets quite a nice racing weight. So that's something to bear in mind, perhaps, over at Goodwood. That's the 150 race and the selection Sinjari. In the 225, the Richmond's typically competitive renewal, won last year by Landforce for Aidan O'Brien. Threat is the favourite this time around at 9-4, 5-1 Guildsman, 13-2 for Golden Horde, 9-1 Symbolise, and 10s and bigger the rest.
Yeah, you look back at the Roll of Honour here, Alex, and there's one name features a fair bit, and that's Hannon Senior and Hannon Junior. You know, Harbour Watch, Lebrano, Dick Turpin, Ivorwood, and in more recent times, Mesmas. So, you know, this is a race the Hannon camp have done very well. And then, you know, I don't think they've hidden the fact how much of a high regard they hold Threat in. He was one of my only anti-post bet for Royal Ascot after his maiden win at Newmarket. I mean, for a horse of his pedigree to do what he did over 5 furlongs on debut was incredible, really, because he's bred to get a little bit further. And I think he's a major player in that first classic or second classic of which will be 2020, the 2000 Guineas, because I think he'll be a much better horse next year when he goes up to a mile. But, you know, he, again, at Ascot in the Coventry Stakes, he slowly away in the early stages, and he left himself a mountain to climb, but he came powering through that field, and in the end he only found the Aidan O'Brien runner, Arizona Too Good. But there was a couple who reoppose, you know, that wasn't too far behind, Guildsman in particular, who I think was round about a head or a neck back in third on that occasion, and Golden Horde, who improved massively from his impressive, it has to be said, win at Windsor. So it could well be close with a three, but I like the fact we've got the likes of Misty Grain here for Mark Johnson, who will go and ensure a real strong gallop to the race. And at 6 furlongs, you know, at this stage of his career, that is what Threat is going to need. And he's in stall one, should have no problems from there. Should have a good pace to aim at. I think Guildsman, obviously, the biggest danger. I wouldn't read too much into Guildsman's slightly below par run in the July Stakes. He didn't get the chance to show his true colours there for me. He never really found a stride and still looked full of running going through the line when finishing fourth. So just draw a line through that. And, you know, he's still an improving horse. But I've got to stick with Threat. I honestly think he can emerge to become a 2000 Guineas candidate, and he may well be second favourite behind Pinatubo. He has hope in 2:30 on Thursday.
Okay. The 3 o'clock coming up next, that's the Gordon Stakes, a Group 3 contest. Really, really interesting race as well. Mile and a half the trip. Constantinople 3-1 as we record this. You mentioned the Ascot form and how that's going to work out. Obviously, that 3-1 correct as we record this at 1 o'clock. Who knows? Maybe bigger, maybe shorter, depending on what's happened on Wednesday. Jalmud 7-2, 9-2 Spanish Mission, and 6s and bigger the remainder. There's so many horses here that you just want to own, to be honest, because there's some really, really nice ones. Let's start with Constantinople.
Yeah, sure. You know, I think he went into many people's notebooks simply because of the way he was conceding to useful handicappers in the King George V handicap. He did carry a big weight. You know, he was running off a mark of 105. You know, in terms of his physique, he's built to carry weight. So maybe that set of circumstances played to his strengths, given his build, Alex, because he's a very imposing son of Galileo. And, you know, finished a good second. And he himself met a little bit of trouble in running when eventually finishing the neck behind South Pacific at the Royal Meeting. You know, I think people were looking towards even him becoming a ledger horse after his impressive run there. But at this moment in time, I have just got a little doubt that those three horses, as I said, for the earlier race, maybe just benefited from coming off a very strong pace and being held up for the majority of that contest. So he's the one, you know, where there's going to be further clues. There's two horses, you know, that are running from the race before he does.
Yes.
That will provide further clues to his chances. So keep an eye on how the form of those races work out. But at 3-1, you know, coming to Goodwood, I think I'd probably be looking elsewhere as well. Because there's a couple that I'd be very lukewarm. Jalmud, you know, I was keen on his chances in the Queen's Vase. He didn't, you know, stay that day for sure, then finished second in France behind Headman. Ran okay behind Japan last time, but blatantly didn't stay. You know, a mile and a half, just looked to stretch him when they went a good gallop. When, you know, he's taking on Group 1 horses going a strong pace, I think he needs to come back and trip. I think a mile and a half just stretches his stamina.
Okay.
So, you know, he's another one I'd be looking to take on.
There's a couple I'm interested in. We'll get to them shortly. We'll see what you make of them, more than me putting them out there, because anyone who listens to me on a regular basis will know that not always right. What about the role of honour for this race in the past? It goes to something with class. The last four winners, Highland Reel, Ulysses, Crystal Ocean and Cross Counter. Not a bad list. Who do you think is going to add their name to that list, Greg?
I'm going to go with Spanish Mission.
Okay.
Bahrain Trophy winner, and an emphatic Bahrain Trophy winner. You know, it was a race probably that will be renowned for the horse of McShannon's that went off at a suicidal pace, Severance. Mm. And, you know, so that provided a really strong gallop to this year's renewal. And Spanish Mission took a while to wind up and took a while to hit his top stride. But he was well on top at the finish, and he beat Mark Johnson's Niaf Road, who I think will get closer over this slightly shorter trip.
He was one of the ones I was interested in, probably each way more than anything. He's
indeed
a stout stayer.
He is.
I just worry that if I was back in Spanish Mission, which I know you're keen on, it would just be, what if it just gets a little too far back and doesn't quite have the speed to get there? It's all ifs and buts, though, isn't it, right now?
Yeah, well, you know, there's no guaranteed front runner here, Alex, to be honest. I know Niaf Road has been held up, but, and, you know, you go back far enough in his career, and he did make the running, you know, as a younger horse. So I wouldn't be too surprised if the change tactics with him. Technician would probably be the other one I would look to in terms of a pace angle in this year's race. But I'm hoping to go hard enough here for Spanish Mission. But, yeah, I do think Niaf Road could get closer. And, obviously, Mark Johnson, Ike Goodwood, you know, I think everybody knows the angles there. But, to be fair, this is one race where, you know, his name doesn't appear too much on the list of previous winners.
Very true. The other one, just to throw at you, is a potential real fly in the ointment. That's Leo De Fury, who's had two runs, both in Ireland, and has come clear quite nicely both times over a mile and two. I think has been crying out for this step-up in trip, despite the fact he's won both times. I think the form of both of his runs doesn't really amount to a great deal, hence he may not be up to a race like this. It's a massive ask. But having seen him last time, he's a really, really nice type, and I suppose it's the right price right now. I mean, we're 7-1. It's about the right price. It's not going to knock your socks off, but I certainly wouldn't discount this one, Greg.
No, obviously from a top yard, visually, what we've seen, yeah, maybe the step up and trip will help, but you look at the damn side of the pedigree, and there's not a huge amount of stamina there, so that throws up a slight doubt. You know, the two races he's contested so far in his career, Alex, is a long way short of the level some of the others have already achieved. So you are, and we are looking at him taking a big step forward against horses that are already at that level and capable of further improvement. So I have to think it would probably be a big ask of him to step from the level he's raced at thus far to Group 3 company. That's a huge jump.
Okay. Spanish mission for you?
Spanish mission in the hope that, you know, they provide a good pace for him to aim at, and I think he'll come home strongly once again.
The final race we're going to focus on is the Group 1 coming up at 3:35, the Nassau Stakes, and the favourite is Hermosa at 15-8. Medii is 7-2, 11-2 for Channel, 6-1 for Rawdar and Max Adden, 14s, and Bigger the remainder. It's the turn of the fillies, Craig, and the best fillies have turned up.
Indeed. Yeah, I think we'll have to start with Hermosa, Alex, don't we? This is going to be so interesting because in three runs as a three-year-old, we've seen her show plenty of speed early in the 1,000 guineas at Newmarket. Looked like she was possibly going to be swamped at the 2-furlong pole and then respond for pressure, quicken again, and run out a nice winner. Similar race in the Irish equivalent at the Curragh. Has to be said that the track was suiting front runners that day, but she still quickened for a second time really impressively to beat Pretty Pollyanna. And then, once again, at Ascot, you know, she's run a very similar race. You know, she seems to go hard and keen in the early part, but she also then seems to stay the mile well, you know, and find at the business end, and only found Watch Me Too Good. Now, you know, I don't think they can change her running style. You know, because she's such an exuberant type, I think she has to, you know, push on in the early stages. Now, will that mean she will have enough stamina reserves to last home over, or be as good over this 10 furlongs?
Maybe not.
You know, she's been strong at the line all three starts this year.
Yeah.
But it's so intriguing. I just wish she would just relax, you know, just switch off in a race, take a lead. And I don't think there'd be a problem there. She is a full sister to Hydrangea, who stayed a mile and a half. The dam was a very speedy horse, five-furlong horse. Beauty is the truth. So
15-8 Hermosa is maybe a little on the skinny side with what you've said.
Yeah, indeed. You know, there's huge, for me, questions to certainly to answer until she goes and proves, you know, 10 furlongs will suit.
Okay. I've been massively impressed this season with Medii, but that run in the Oaks was the blot on the copybook, if you like. If you're treating it like that, then I'm sure you'll have no problem siding with Medii at 7-2. It's if you think that is the exception to the rule.
I like her. I think she's, you know, hard to discount. She isn't very big. You know, for a daughter of Franco, she's on the small side, and I think that will put a lot of people off. But we've seen at Chester, you know, she showed a lot of speed and devoured the conditions to clock a really quick time. You know, on the back of that Chester performance, you know, everybody, let's not forget, wanted to be with her in the Oaks. You know, sent off 11-4 favourite. And I think it was the course more than the trip or anything else that day that was her downfall. She then went to France, held up in what I would describe as a moderately run race.
Yeah.
But she showed an almost electric turn of foot to come down the middle of the track and win going away. She's got bags of speed, really, Alex. So the drop back to 10 furlongs, for me, is a plus. And I think she's a big, big player. I do. I think she's a big, big player. There's a couple, you know, bigger prices I think can give her something to think about. Chanel, I've watched her two French runs back. She's been very well positioned in slowly run races and being able to quicken away. I know it was a Group 1 she won last time, but you know, I think she was slightly flattered, and this is a much bigger ask from her. Maxad travelled strongest of all in the Oaks, was the last horse off the bridle, simply didn't stay a mile and a half. You know, I think she's interesting coming back to 10 furlongs, and I think the danger to the Gosden filly is Sir Michael Stout's Rawdar. Now, she only contested a Group 2 at the Royal Meeting, but, you know, that was a really good performance in the Duke of Cambridge when just going down by a neck to move swiftly. She had a subsequent Group 1 winner in behind him, Ferocious. I Can Fly was third. You know, the race has a really strong look to it. She looked for all the world. She wanted a couple of extra furlongs to go at. And I think, you know, for me, she could possibly be the biggest danger to the Gosden runner.
Okay. Worth bearing in mind as well, six of the last seven winners of this race have been three-year-olds. You do have four four-year-olds up there at the top, with the shortest price them being Rawdar at 6-1. Not to say that Rawdar can't win, because we have seen some classy older horses win this race in the last 20 years or so. But nevertheless, that is a stat that appears pretty prevalently here. And obviously you've got Hermosa, Medii, and Channel towards the head of the market, 15-8, 7-2, and 11-2.
Yeah, I did look back, obviously, at some of the profile of previous winners, Alex. Mm. And the one thing I did notice is that Aidan O'Brien, you know, in terms of his campaigning of fillies coming here, nearly all of them had tried the 10 furlong trip before the run at Glorious Goodwood. You know, you've got the likes of Winter, who, you know, ran in the 1,000 guineas and had similar campaigns, but they nearly all had experience over 10 furlongs, where, you know, we're going to find out if Hermosa is suited to this distance for the first time on Thursday.
So are you going to side with Medii?
Medii, for me, yeah. I think the three-year-old, they've been dominant in recent years, as you said, and I think the fact the weight for age allowance just swings it ahead of the Sir Michael Stout runner.
So the four selections: Sinjari in the 150, priced up currently at 6-1. Threat at 9-4 for the 225. That is the Richmond Stakes. In the Gordon Stakes, coming up at 3 o'clock, it's Spanish Mission at 9-2. And in the 335, the Nassau, we are going with Medii at 7-2. The fourfold there paying £562, but you can have maybe a Yankee, doubles, trebles, whatever you want.
Yeah, let's not be greedy. One would be nice, Alex.
Six is 9-4, 9-2, 7-2. The four picks for Craig on the Thursday of Glorious Goodwood. Cheers, Craigie.
Thank you, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.